Let's hear again those words of the gospel reading, which are so important for us. And there were some present at that very time who told Jesus about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise all perish." And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. It was a sudden and just outrageously evil tragedy. Those Galileans, they weren't hurting anybody. They were only doing what the law of Moses told them to do. They were offering sacrifices to God in the temple. When Pilate's henchmen flooded into the temple courts and, for whatever reason, cut them down in cold blood, slaughtered them so that their blood mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. It was just abhorrent. Think about the women who came to the Passover that year as wives and left as widows, or of the children who returned home as orphans. It was tragedy with a capital T. And so a group of people approaches Jesus, seeking his commentary on this hot news story that everybody was talking about. But judging by the response of Jesus, who knows their hearts, very likely behind this inquiry is this notion that people have in their heads that terrible things happen to people because they did something to deserve it. Like when those disciples saw that blind beggar one day, and they asked Jesus, "Who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents?" And people still think like that, don't they? Maybe today we use a little different language. Maybe we talk about karma sometimes, getting whatever you deserve for whatever it is that you did. And of course, unspoken is that prideful assumption that karma is at work in other people's lives, but not so much in mine, because I'm just not as deserving of such a horrible fate as they apparently are. And so perhaps in seeking Jesus' commentary on Pilate's slaughter of those worshipers in the temple, they are hoping that Jesus will affirm their ideas about how God operates, and that he will draw that straight line from their sin to their well-deserved punishment. But what they actually get from Jesus as commentary must have surprised them. Last thing they expected to hear when Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And listening between the lines, you can almost hear Jesus saying this: "You want me to tell you what they did to deserve such a terrible fate? Well, they are gone, but you still have time. So let's talk about you." And maybe he said, "In the Torah, Isaac says, 'I do not know the day of my death.' Well, none of you know the day of your death. Murder or not, pilot or no pilot, slaughter or no slaughter, you're all going to die one way or another. You speak of this slaughter in Jerusalem, but what about those 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam collapsed on them? Are you any better than they are? Were those 18 people, or those Galileans that Pilate slaughtered in the temple, were they worse sinners than you? No. No, I tell you, but repent, or you will all likewise perish. This is a hard saying of our Lord Jesus, not just for those who first heard it, but for us too. His words sound so cold and callous. Can you imagine if we used words like that in our day after James Crumley killed four students at his high school in Oxford, Michigan? Or after those six student golfers and their coach from the University of the Southwest were killed when an oncoming pickup truck slammed head-on into their bus? Imagine after tragedies like that, that you posted on your Twitter account the words of Jesus for the whole world, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You would spark a Twitter storm of rage. How dare you talk like that? Your insensitivity is appalling. After what these poor people suffered, and you're telling us to repent, have you no compassion? And how would Jesus respond? He would say, but those people are gone. You, however, still have some time. So let's talk about you. You tell me about these murders and about these wrongful deaths. But what about those seven young people at Berkeley, California, who died when their fifth-floor balcony collapsed? Are you any better than they were? Were they worse sinners than you, that they deserved a fate like that while God left you alone? No, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Oh, it's dangerous to speak like that. Just ask Jeremiah or Ezekiel or any of the prophets or anyone who is tasked with speaking God's truth to our politically correct woke culture. Well, that very word, repent, makes it sound like you think that people deserve such tragedies befalling them. And that, of course, is the point, isn't it? You want Jesus' commentary about why people die? How about this? The wages of sin is death. That's it. We're all going to die, one way or another. There's nothing surprising about that. We experience it all the time. We have a funeral this afternoon. That hardly needs commentary. These kinds of tragic deaths have been happening ever since sin corrupted God's creation and our nature. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the bigger question is not about them and what happened to them. The big question is you. And what are you learning? If your life goes on, when someone else's life has been tragically cut down, do you think that that's because somehow they were worse than you? Ah, but soon enough, death will come to you too. Suddenly or slowly, by old age or by tragedy, it's the wages of sin, and it's unavoidable. But what is avoidable? And this is what the Lord is so passionate about with those who still have time. This is why God set Ezekiel as a watchman over Israel to warn them of their sins and of impending doom. What is avoidable is the far worse eternal tragedy that awaits those who perish while they are yet in their sins. So the question, what did they do to deserve this, is the wrong question to be asking when we hear of tragedy and of death. It's not about who is the worst sinner or not. It's not about who deserves what. We deceive ourselves when we think like that. Instead, in times like that, the thing to do is to remember that your days are also numbered and turn to Jesus, your Savior, and repent and take refuge in His infinite mercy while there is still time. For only He can deliver us from death. Only He can deliver us from the sin which is the root cause of all death. So consider that fruitless fig tree that Jesus tells us about. You see, that's what a sinner looks like to God, like a fruitless fig tree. You see, the point is not whether you produce enough fruit or too little fruit or some fruit or any fruit. The point is that on our own we cannot produce any fruit at all. As Ezekiel said in our Old Testament reading, the righteousness of the righteous will not deliver him. And the book of Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Well, if you want to talk about what we deserve, well, what we all deserve is to be cut down. Like Pilate cut down those Galilean worshipers at the temple. And like that barren fig tree deserves to be cut down. That's what we deserve. But did you catch that element of grace in that parable of the fruitless fig tree? It's the vine dresser. And he begs mercy for this tree. And he pleads with its owner, let it alone. Give it a little more time. And by the way, the word for let it alone in the Greek is the word forgive. Forgive that tree, O Lord. Let it alone for a little while. Hold off on your judgment and give it some time and let's see what happens. You want to know what Jesus is praying for you, interceding for you at the throne of God? Maybe that's His prayer. Oh Lord, hold off. Give them a little bit more time and let's see what happens. That is the mercy of our Lord and Savior, of whom Peter said, He is not slow in keeping His promise to return and bring judgment, but He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Father, leave them alone a little while longer. Forgive them and let me work on them. Let me put some manure at the roots and perhaps they'll come around. And that, of course, is a picture of the loving, tender care and mercy of our Savior, digging around in our lives that He might feed us with His Word and with His body and His blood to nurture in us true life, His life. And if it were not grace enough that He pleads for more time on our behalf, here is amazing grace that instead of letting that fig tree be cut down, He permitted Himself to be cut down in our place, hanging and dying on the cross on a garbage heap called Golgotha. And from that cross, His absolution is pronounced. His blood is poured out. His body is broken. The fruits of His cross to impart life to us, like manure on a tree, so that we will no longer be these unfruitful, unrepentant trees, but transformed trees, trees that bear the fruits of repentance in lives that are lived for Him. And if that is the lesson that you learn from the tragedies and the deaths of which we read in the headlines, then wise are you indeed. In any case, to figure out why others die and why they die when they die, that's above our pay grade. It is not ours to know the mind of God or to understand these things. But it is ours to number our days, to repent, and to flee to God's mercy in Christ our dear Lord, while God is still letting us alone for a while, giving us some time. When things are good in life, that is a gift of our gracious God. But when things are not so good, the Lord is with us through it. But the one constant, either way, is not us or the things that happen to us. The one constant in everything is the goodness and the faithfulness of the God, of our God. In Christ, we know whether we live or whether we die, whether Pilate spills our blood or not, whether we are killed in the next building collapse or not, whether natural disaster or disease or sorrow or joy or challenge be our lot this day, in Christ we know, as Paul says in Romans 14, that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And that is what the Lord wants you to know, most of all. In His name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.